Miguel Parrando. The bartender realized he'd been cleaning the same glass for several minutes, ever since the emergency signal came from the cube. Someone broke a rack with a loud crash. Hey! He spun around. You show some respect! It was Leroy, a tall white guy, dealer. I'm paying for this table by the hour. You show me some respect. He lined up an easy shot and hit hard with a lot of draw, whack, thump, and the cue ball glided back to its starting place. She was the worst president we ever had. So somebody finally punched her fucking ticket. What took so long is what I wonder. You a hard fucking case, Leroy. She was a nice lady. Nice looking, said a short fat man at the bar. I wouldn't go no further than that. People in Washington didn't think much of her. You think much of them? A woman in a sparkly silver shift, blue eyes and black skin like the bartender's, smoothed $100 bill on the bar. I'd like a whiskey, Miguel. She put another bill on top. And anybody else who wants one. When did you start drinking, Connie? Just now. A little ice? Leroy came up, emptied his glass and put it on the bar. I'll have one for a vaporized ass. Somebody gonna vaporize your ass someday, Leroy, Connie said. You ought to get in some other business, the people you run with. He pointed up at the cube, which was back to Cool Moon Davis. Not as dangerous as those guys. Miguel poured four glasses, one for himself, and slid them over. Or the frogs, if that's them that did it. That would be crazy, Miguel said. The French don't want us in the war. So the damn Germans. Doesn't have to be a foreigner, Connie said. People in this room who'd do it if the price was right. Woo-hoo! Leroy sipped the neat liquor. My ears are burning. It's a hell of a thing, the short man said. No matter who gets it. It's not American. Is now, Connie said. She looked back at the cube as it switched back to the Walter Reed Hospital room. Babon Mitchell. The cube room at the prison was crowded and silent, both rare. The warden had given permission to open the cells so that everyone could get to the news. Babon and three other guards covered the doors, armed with tanglers. But nobody was going anywhere. Babon was still sorting out the murder he'd witnessed this morning. Not the first one, but Ibor was just a nice kid who hadn't hurt anyone. Why'd the warden have to drag him in there to watch? And now this damn thing. Maybe it was all just a long nightmare. Maybe he would wake up and it would just be another morning. But he felt that way before, and it never worked. Just in stories. Why did so many people feel so bad about the president? Well, she's pretty and smart and powerful, and maybe people who like one don't like the other. At least she never could have felt anything. That boy this morning went through all kinds of hell before he died. He couldn't get it out of his head. The inmates knew. The way they looked at him, it's like they thought he did it. Not this time. Towelheads, watch out, though. Davis had shut up, and they switched to a local reporter. Daniel Jordan. Here at the International Plaza, we'd like to get the reaction of some of the students here. Pardon me. The young man turned around and revealed a diamond-shaped scar on his cheek. A member of the Spoog gang. I ain't no student, fuck off, he mumbled in passing. Great assignment. Young man, could you give me your reaction to the tragedy in Washington? He was small and frail and red-eyed. I really don't know anything. Was he crazy? Must have been crazy. Some people have said he never got over his experience in the Gulf, Daniel prompted. I had an uncle there, and an aunt, and there's nothing wrong with them, he said, looking intently at the ground, and wandered away. A pretty young woman approached, tailored suit, smile. Pardon me, ma'am, could you— No, leave me alone! She whacked him hard on the shoulder with her heavy purse, aiming for his head. Like a message from the gods, a little voice in his ear said, Switching to network in 5.